less pointless.
Okay, gentlemen, we continue in the Rambam Hilchos Yom Tov, Perek Zayin Halacha Vav, Chapter 7, Law 6, in the Maznayim text. It is page 276 and 277. Now, we might want to digress for a moment because I don't know how we're going to go through these halachas. Uh-huh. What? It is on.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. I don't want to have to do it over again. So we've already finished the text, the context of Dover HaOvid, financial laws. So let's go over some of the halachas inside about what constitutes a financial loss. So we'll be able to get that halacha clear before we move on to other items that are types of work you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. Now, on Chol HaMoed, right. Now, first point is, we're talking about a loss or a damage of either money or possessions, which is going to occur during or after the Yom Tov. And you can do malacha on Chol HaMoed to prevent a loss of this type if the necessary measures can't wait until after Yom Tov. It doesn't have to mean you lose the money now. You can lose it right after Yom Tov if you don't do something now. It's the same thing.
Yeah,
and you can do malacha even if the projected loss isn't definite. But as long as there's a reasonable chance it's going to occur, then you can do some type of work to prevent that. Now, in the event of a substantial loss, we'll see that even skilled work is permitted. Generally, we wouldn't do skilled work to prevent the loss. But if it'd be a big loss, it'd be, and everything's relative, obviously. Now, not only can you do work to prevent your own personal loss, you can do work in Chol HaMoed to prevent another Jew's loss. So it's not going to be you, it's for another Jew, because all Jews are brothers, right? And more also, this work that you do to help another Jew not get a loss, you can even do for payment, if need be. However, it's preferable to hire a non-Jew to do work that's involved for payments to avoid a financial loss. Now, the malacha that's permitted to prevent a loss has to be under the following conditions. Now, number one, the loss must involve a loss of principal of one's possession as opposed to the loss of new profits. We'll explain all these, what they mean. But
if you're going to lose your job, is that future?
Well, that would be principal.
Is it?
That's your principal.
Future earnings.
That's not profits. You have the job. You have a job.
Oh, I see, it's the job.
You're losing the job. You've lost what you've got. So it's not business, it's a job.
The value of the job rather than the value of the future earnings.
Now, number two, it's only allowed if the work doesn't entail excessive exertion. Number three, the work should not have been left specifically for Chol HaMoed. Because I could have done it before, but I choose to wait till Chol HaMoed. And the work should have been ever possibly done privately rather than in public view. Those are the four criteria that should be met. Now, we're going to explain them in more detail. So number one, if you can do this work if there's a reasonable possibility that a loss will occur, even if it's not inevitable. For example, let's say the lock on the outside door of your house is broken. Are you allowed to fix it on Chol HaMoed? Well, what would be the reason to allow you to fix it?
Can be broken in house.
Your house can be broken into and there can be a financial loss. Now, is that for sure going to be financial loss?
No.
It's not for sure. There's been many times I've left the house, you know, unlocked by mistake and didn't get a robbery, believe it or not, right? Can you imagine, right? So you have to fix a Chol HaMoed, and it can be repaired by professional locksmiths, because there's a reasonable possibility that a house can get burglarized if it's not repaired, and you need a professional to fix it, or it really won't be fixed up properly.
Now, we said yesterday that there's no benefit in getting a non-Jew because you're depriving a Jew of a living. Is that
well? But, yeah, but you'd rather if the Jew has to work. It's always better. You have to weigh the issues. It's better to get a non-Jew because then you're not having a Jew working. If there's a Jew that mamish needs to eat, then
okay,
you give
so
him
not
better.
It's necessary for the non-Jew
okay,
for the Jew to
now,
work.
Okay. Now, next point. Malacha is allowed to prevent a loss not only when it's done to the object in danger of losing or damage, but even will indirectly help avoid a loss. What does that mean? For example, let's say you have to work on Chol HaMoed to earn money that if you wouldn't make it, you wouldn't be able to make the mortgage payments necessary to stop foreclosure on your house. All right? In other words, you got to pay the mortgage every month, whatever, $2,000-$3,000 a month. Let's have a nice mortgage, yeah. So now there's going to be a financial loss. It means you can't pay the mortgage payments. You're going to lose your house, right? So that could be one of the leniencies to be able to go to work. You're working based on, if you don't work for this week, you won't have enough money to make the mortgage payment. You don't have money to make the mortgage payment. You're going to lose the house. Losing the house is a major financial loss. That becomes the heter to then go to work, for example. Now, when can you use a professional to prevent, a professional to work on to prevent a financial loss? Only when a substantial loss is anticipated. Then you could use a professional. So again, if the guy, if the front door is not locked, the lock is broken, you could have a substantial loss. Your house can get cleaned out. So then you have to have a professional to do that. When no more than a minimal loss is foreseen, though, then only a non-professional is allowed. For example, let's say a fence or a portion of the fence surrounding a garden has collapsed. And the owner is afraid that he can incur a substantial loss through theft or vandalism, then it can be repaired professionally. But if the only fear is that a few inexpensive plants might be trampled on by by animals, let's say, that's a minimal loss, then a portion of the fence can be repaired, and only in a non-professional manner. Now, it's difficult to say when we move from non-substantial to substantial. It's subjective, right? And it depends a lot. But that, you have to ask a shy lot. But if your fence in your backyard, well, God, I think for most of us it would be a big deal. Truthfully, you could probably just let it stay till after Chol Moed. But if you wanted to fix it, so you fix it. And so that takes most Jewish husbands out of the picture, right?
Certainly in a professional manner.
Right. I said most. Now, again, the loss of principle is considered a davar ha'avad, a lost thing. But a slight deterioration in the condition of an object and not affecting its usefulness is not considered a davar ha'avad. For example, if a person's only pair of shoes became damaged, and if you wear them a little bit more, will ruin them completely, then you can have a skilled guy fix the shoes on Chol Hamoed. Right? But if wearing them will merely cause a little bit more damage, then they cannot be repaired in a skilled fashion, only in a non-skilled fashion. Let's say you can buy a new pair of shoes on Chol Hamoed, then you shouldn't repair the old ones at all. Because that's one way to avoid the issue. Because we've got the money to buy them.
You have a problem with your car, for example, and if you don't get it seen to, it'll cause more damage.
Right. Again, so all these, you know, you've got to extrapolate, right? Now, this only refers to the loss of something in one's possession, but this is not affecting the loss of new profit. New profit is not considered in this category. So let's say, the risk of losing one's job by not working on Chol Hamoed is considered a davar da'avad, because something that's already in your possession, i.e. your job, will be lost. And that is your source of income that you already have. Every month you're getting in this kind of money. That's not new profit. That's in the bag. You got a contract or whatever. You've got that. Therefore, you're allowed to do malacha. You're allowed to go to work. If however, by failing to work, you only, let's say, face the loss of wages for the days of Chol Hamoed. In other words, if the threat is you'll lose the job, then that you don't have to lose. You're not supposed to lose your job. But you say, okay, you want to take off, you're going to miss 4 days of work. I don't know, 4 days of work is, let's say, $1,000, whatever it is. And that would be considered, the $1,000 is the new profit. You understand the difference?
Right.
Losing the job, then I've lost what I've got. Losing $1,000 from work, then that's not a problem. Now, of course, if you lose the $1,000 and you can't pay the mortgage, and you lose the house, then even the $1,000 of work, you don't take off the 4 days. Right? So this is very subjective, and a lot of people are very nervous about it. This kind of thing you have to ask your boss, you know, and you have to know how to ask in a way that you get the right answer. If I don't come, will you fire me? You know, it's not exactly the way to say it. Yeah.
Most people can take vacation about today.
What?
Most people can take vacation.
Yeah, no one's vacation about today. There's no way.
You never know. You could have some rotten bosses. Yeah. Let's say if you're an accountant, yeah. If you're an accountant and you want to take the whole Chol HaMoed off at Pesach time in April, I don't know. You know, they could say this is the most important time of the year. We can't take the, and you're already taking off Yom Tov as it is, right? And they didn't forget the 6 days you took off in September, right? But so you have to know. I mean, you have to always daven to Hashem, but you should make the effort to be able to get out of that if you can. If you have a really bad boss, they'll pick on you and they'll make your life miserable. And again, you have to know. It's. I would think you're right. In today's society, you can get, as long as you're not taking advantage of other ways. You know, don't go on a 3 week vacation in March and then tell them you want to take 4 days off on Chol HaMoed. Then already you're looking for trouble. But if you're not taking any, you haven't taken vacation in the last 5-6 months, you just want to take these days off. Why not? Okay, now, we'll see. There's more to talk about this. Very complex subject. Now, what about a factory owner? Okay, here. So if by closing your business, Ron, you'll merely forfeit new profit and not past earnings or capital, then you're not allowed to be open a home late. But hold on, there's a lot more going on here. Now, if you're closed, however, you'll have to pay your workers their usual wages, right? And that would be considered by many authorities to be a davar ha'avad, because you're not working and you'd have to pay them. All right, that's losing a lot of money, depending on how big your company is. Pay them all 4 days of work for not working, right? But you try to find alternative measures before you can consider this as a davar ha'avad. So, for example, the owner should propose to the workers, can't force them, propose that the annual paid vacation should be during Chol HaMoed. How many of them want to take off in April and in September? Right? Or that an unpaid vacation be scheduled for Chol HaMoed into their regular usual paid vacation. Again, they may not want to take the vacation. But at least you have to offer it. You have to at least see if they'll bite, if they'll take it, you know. Wait, if the workers refuse those proposals, and now he would be compelled to pay those workers on Chol HaMoed as well as for another vacation, only then would we allow the factory to operate on Chol HaMoed, according to those opinions, because that would already, that becomes the davar ha'avad. Okay? Now, another issue is, what's your question?
Is there a difference whether the factory owner is present or just lets the factory run without him?
Well, it's the same thing. Your factory should be closed.
I appreciate that, but is it a lesser...
Because they're working for you. They can't work for you on Chol HaMoed.
No, I understand, but I mean, we're talking about one of the steps was to keep it
private. Well, certainly be better. It's two separate issues. Better if the factory owner is not there, because at least he is. But they really can't be working for him on Chol HaMoed also. So it's two different things, but you do what you can. Now, a lot of rabbis maintain that the loss of regular customers by a business is considered a davar ha'avad. So let's say, if the factory owner believes that he might permanently lose some of his steady customers by staying closed on Chol HaMoed, then he could keep it open for that reason. Now, even though, let's say that's the reason now, that you're keeping it open. So that means, let's say the workers were willing to take paid vacation. They're willing, but you've got to keep it open, because there's certain customers that we need to have this stuff at this time, and especially nowadays, there's such little loyalty in your customer base, you just need any excuse to go somewhere else. So that would be a big problem. So if you have to stay open because of the steady customers, so although it could be open, but anything that's unnecessary beyond to keep the regular customers should be avoided. Therefore, malacha may not be done to fill orders, even of the regular customers, unless they insist on having the merchandise immediately. Right? In that case, you could do malacha to fill the order, if the owner fears that he could lose the customer. If the customer can wait, then the order can be taken, but don't fill it till after Chol HaMoed. You say, okay, we'll take the order. Can we deliver it in 2 weeks or whatever? And if he says yes, so you always try to avoid having to do what has to be done. Now, in order for a person who's not a, let's say an order from a person who's not a previous customer, so that's new business, right? You could take the order, but you can't fill the order on Chol HaMoed, even if failure to do that means you're losing a new customer. That's already considered a new customer. Because that's profit, but that's not what you already had before. Now, so you can see it's very complicated, and therefore every case has to, ask its particulars to know exactly what the halacha is.
I guess you still have this about if you don't take that new customer, you're going to lose the factory.
Well, that array, I wouldn't go that far.
Not from one customer, to the new customer that you went to
expect. Unless you've lost a lot of, old customers, yeah. And you say, yeah. If I don't get so many new customers in the next 3 months, the place is closed. I mean, there is an idea of a little bitachon. It's only 4 days.
Yeah. Like, it's the same as not being able to pay the mortgage from that 4 days of salary.
Okay.
Other thing, like in this case, is let's say you're just starting out. So you open the business in January and you're building your base and,
Right, so that's why you'd have to ask a shaila. There's a lot of pros and cons. A lot of issues have to be discussed before you can make a final pesach halacha here. Now, since we've said that failure to get new profits is not considered davar da'avad, so you can't do malacha in order to benefit from a bargain. It's one of these classic things. Person may not have a tune-up done in his car by a mechanic, let's say, who's running a special during Chol HaMoed. Half price on tune-ups this week. Right? You gotta wait until after the other's over. Missing an opportunity to save money is considered a new profit. That's not a davar ha'avad, and therefore you're not allowed to do that kind of malacha. So you say, well, it's on sale now. But sale just means a new profit. That's not an old profit. Right? That wouldn't fit into that. Now, as we said before, any type of malacha, even a professional malacha, is permitted in order to avoid a substantial loss. So let's say a leaking roof. Okay, that can be repaired on Chol HaMoed in a skilled fashion or to prevent water damage to the house. Right? Now, in instance of davar avad, only the work that's necessary to prevent the loss is permitted. That's what I mentioned yesterday. So in the case of a leaky roof, only the section of the roof which leaks can be repaired, but not the entire roof. Okay? But as we said before, if the repairman doing the job is going to charge a minimum fee, and the cost will be the same whether a small section or the entire roof was repaired, then you can do the complete job. Okay? You gotta weigh the variables over there. Because paying a high price for a partial job, which is really the same price of a complete job, that itself is a davar avad. Right? And therefore, that would be allowed. Now, even though you're allowed to do work to prevent the loss, but you should try to minimize the exertion involved as much as possible. And the malacha that requires a lot of exertion is prohibited even in a case of davar avad. And we had that yesterday in the Rambam. And he gives this example as well. You can water garden plants with a hose or a sprinkler system to prevent them from dying, only if they're going to die. Which in Toronto does not apply in April and September. No plants are going to die 4 days not, because it's pretty rainy as it is, right? However, to draw buckets of water and then carry them through the yard, as we had yesterday, right, to water the plants, that's not allowed, because that's very excessive. Now, if the event of an unusually large loss, then even excessive exertion is allowed, and again, you have to ask a shot in all these cases. Now, there's... skip that. Okay, obviously another thing is you cannot plan work for Chol HaMoed, even though you're planning to do the work to save a davar avad, that's not allowed. But if the situation arose unexpectedly on Chol HaMoed, or even if it was apparent that you needed to do it before the Yontif, but there are circumstances beyond his control that didn't let him get to it, then he can deal with it. Okay, here's a good example of this. Let's say the thermostat or refrigerator stopped functioning before Yontif, and you have to repair it to prevent the food from spoiling. Now, if the repairs could have been made before Yontif, but you deliberately delayed it until Chol HaMoed, then you can't make them. Could have had the guy come in on Erev Yontif. He says, I don't want him to come in on Erev Yontif. It's not convenient for me. Too bad.
That doesn't make sense because it would spoil on Yontif.
Whatever. I'm just saying. If you didn't, you can't delay it. Okay. We can skip that. Yeah, we'll skip that.
So the same would apply to the roof.
Here's a very interesting one. What?
The same would apply to the roof. If before Yontif it was leaking and you didn't, and you were lazy about it.
That's right. If you didn't care about leaking before Yontif, we're not going to be caring about it on Yontif. Now here we're going to have a very interesting, where's this? Where did I start this from? Okay. So this, let's say a worker at a particular company is allowed a maximum of 2 weeks vacation a year. Right? If he exceeds that amount, he could lose his job. Let's say that's the situation. So some rabbis say that the worker may not take his 2 week vacation during the summer, because since by doing so, you're effectively planning to do work on Chol HaMoed.
2 weeks wouldn't be enough to cover Yom
Tov. No, Chol HaMoed, whatever. Let's say it's the 2 week vacation versus the Chol HaMoed. Forget about the other things. It's just
That's all you have left after Yom Tov's
system. Let's say it's 4 weeks. Whatever. You're left for the last 2 weeks. Is it going to be 2 weeks in the summer or 2 weeks Chol HaMoed? So some opinions say that's deliberately leaving the work for Chol HaMoed. Right. So you shouldn't be able to do that. Others say no. By the fact that he will enjoy the vacation in the summer, and you'll feel much more relaxed going to cottage in July as opposed to going to the cottage in October. All right, so that's not considered deliberately pushing off the work, because it's not the same thing. In other words, you need that vacation, right? That because even right now, of course, it's better if you give up your summer vacation and take the Chol HaMoed. But these opinions say you don't have to. Because you then don't end up getting any vacation, and that's not fair either. Now, if when a Chol HaMoed comes, a worker still has unused vacation time, let's say it's unused vacation time, and can take an unpaid leave without losing his job, right? Because so then there's no he has to do so because there's no davar avad, right? There's no davar avad. You got 2 more weeks left, and if, you know, and you can take it now. You already had the summer 2 weeks. And there's another 2 weeks coming. You still have 2 more weeks, then where's the davar avad? You haven't lost your summer vacation. You still have another 2 weeks, then you should be taking it there.
So even if you don't get paid for it, but you're not going to lose your job, then that's just loss of future income.
That's right. Now, okay. Now, another interesting variation of a davar avad, it's not, usually it refers to something tangible, but sometimes the things are not tangible. For example, what about if you don't do a certain work, you're going to lose Torah knowledge? You learn something, you're going to lose it. So therefore, let's say you come up with a new Torah insight. Are you allowed to write on Chol HaMoed? No. We've come up with a great insight. And if you don't write it down on Chol HaMoed, after Yom Tov, you're going to forget it. So you're allowed to write it, because that's a davar avad. There's no greater loss than that in the world, to lose a Torah insight. So then you'd be allowed to write it down. Also, a mitzvah that is now coming, but if you don't do it now, you'll lose it. That can also be considered a davar avad. Let's say a mezuzah was found to be pasul, right? So now, if you fix it and you do the mitzvah now, or you don't fix it, you don't do the mitzvah now, and you have a place without a mezuzah. So you can fix it even with a professional way a sofer does, because you'd be losing the mitzvah for a week. Therefore, you're allowed to fix it, even though writing as a scribe would be normally a forbidden activity.
The sofer can't keep working on the Torah he's been writing for.
No, to work on the Torah he's been writing on that, not. But if a guy comes into Chol HaMoed and says, my tefillin are pasul, my thing's pasul. My mezuzah's pasul, then he has to fix that. Also, being deprived of an essential human need and a loss of certain rare opportunities are examples of davar avad. Let's say a house was burglarized and Chol HaMoed, and your entire wardrobe was stolen. Chas v'shalom. Now you could buy a new suit and have the necessary alterations, which you normally couldn't do on Chol HaMoed, and get that made, right? Because in this situation, you're deprived of all your clothing. That's an essential need, so that's a davar avad. Because how can I live without clothing? For me to go around for a week without clothing, that's for sure a davar avad. So that can be even done in a skilled fashion.
So it sounded like the rabbi was underlining alterations, but are you allowed to buy the suit at all?
Technically, you could buy a suit. Technically, but you'd have to know why. Do you need a suit or you don't need a suit?
On sale. We're back to that.
Nah, then that's not a reason. Let's say you need a suit.
But if you,
let's say the last suit you have just ripped.
So then
you don't have a suit. So then you could buy a suit.
I presume it can be checked as well.
If you give someone a check on home weight.
No point buying it if you can't get a check because then you can't wear it.
Yep. So now, similar to the Dover Ovid is a case of a worker who doesn't have what to eat, right? Such a person is allowed to work in Chol HaMoed to feed himself and his family, even if it requires professional work. And anyone is allowed to employ this poor laborer, even if the employer doesn't need the work for the festival, but to prevent the loss, but it's to make sure that guy makes parnasa. And it's much better to let him work than just give him a handout. So even though I don't need it, but I know the other guy, he doesn't eat unless he works, and he's got no jobs for Chol HaMoed. Then I can give him a job that I don't need right now, but if he needs to get the job, I can give that, because that's like a Dover Ovid. But however, all that work should be done privately, if possible, because not everybody understands the special circumstances which allow you to do this.
That's right? Back to what we're saying about who to hire.
Right, exactly. Okay, let's just do at least one new halacha in the Rambam. Okay. But I think it's important halachas to go over. Very common questions. And halacha, vav. Mi shahaisalo tvua mukhberes lakarka. Someone who had grain connected to the ground. Vein lamashi yochabod. Elabimene. Has nothing to eat on yontif except what's growing on the ground. The cupboards are bare. Stores are closed. And the only thing he's going to eat if he cuts down the stuff in his field. Afa pishein kan hefse. There's no loss in the field, but he just doesn't have what to eat. So we could say, well, wait, no, it's more than this. The cupboard, the stores are not closed. We might have thought, so go to a store and buy. No. We don't force him to go and buy things from the marketplace and to make him delay cutting his stuff from his field after Yontif. No. He can cut it down and pile it up and thresh it and winnow it and separate it and grind what he needs, but he shouldn't thresh it with cows. Why? Shekol davar she'ein bo hefsid. As long as it's not a hefsid of a financial loss, Sarach L'shan, you should do it with a shinui, with it, do it in a different way. So cows is the normal way to do it without cows. Chen kol kav yetzer is similarly. So therefore, you need to eat, we don't force you to go to the store. In other words, I don't need to spend the money to go to the store. I got it right here. If I go to the store and buy some flour, but I have my own flour that I could make.
But all you lose is money. So why?
So you're not obliged to do that. You're not obliged to do that.
Inconsistent.
Yeah. Why?
Force other people to lose money.
I've got it here. I've got it. I don't have any other food. So why do I have to spend money on that? I have to spend money on it. I got the food right here.
You have to do all these labors that you can't even do in a hidden way.
No, it's in your backyard.
This is a more extreme situation because you have no other...
No, but you have money and you can go buy food.
So
it's going to cost you more.
Okay,
you have
so that...
pay the markup, that's all. Yes. And then when you harvest this,
but if you have
you'll
no
sell
food,
it...
in your house, I mean, the likely scenario I would assume is you probably don't have much money. It doesn't say it explicitly. Yeah.
It would be a financial hardship, for sure. And that's not a loss of profit. That's a loss of money you got in your pocket. Yeah. Not a loss of profit. You lose. I have $100 that I don't want to lose. And I wouldn't lose it. If you let me go on my field, I don't have to spend a nickel. So you're losing money from that. Okay? Okay, let's do one more halacha. Kvashim shechalecha b'moed, pickled items, pickling things. So if I pickle it on yontif, and I'm able to eat it in the pickled state on yontif, kvashim, you're allowed to pickle them. V'she'enim ruim el achamoed, but if I'm pickling them on chol moed, but they're not going to be ready till after chol moed, also kvashim, you cannot pickle them, because that's a malacha, not necessary for yontif. V'tzad adam dogim, kol shechalecha, and let's say fishing, you could fish on chol moed, you could fish as much as you want. I've got more fish than I need. You're allowed to do it because you never know which fish will taste better than the other. You catch a few fish, you say, we got enough fish, but I might catch a better fish. And you want to have a nicer yontif, so you can catch some more fish. You know, because, you know, until you make sure you got really what you like. Umaleach hakol b'moed, and you can salt them all on chol hamoed. And I guess it's type of a processing of the fish. And we say, and why that might not be ready till after Yontif, say, no, we'll be ready. You can eat them even on Yontif. If you press them with your hands, very much, they get soft, you're able to eat it on Yontif. Let's do one more. Sort, yes. Metilim Shechel Ramoid L'Tzach Amoid. You're allowed to make beer on Chol HaMoed for the needs of Chol HaMoed. But if the beer will not be ready for Chol HaMoed, also you can't do it. Doesn't matter echa shchar tamarim, echa shchar sa'arim. Doesn't matter if it's date beer or barley beer. Barley beer is more work. Afal pishas yosh, even though you have old beer. Marim, you're allowed to be a little bit cunning. Veshosim in a chodesh and drink from the new beer. In other words, we're saying, you could say, you know, I like new beer. I like new beer. You got old beer, but you got the barrel. You want to make yourself some new beer, so you're allowed to do that. Sheina Ramazu Nikosra, because that trick isn't discernible to people watching. They're not going to think. They don't understand that. They think, oh, he's making beer, so you can have beer.
Covered Chol HaMoed as well. You want the best.
Yeah. So Chol Rengel Rav Yotzeba, and certainly anything like that on Yom Teh. That's some of that. Shkaya, guys. We'll start again next week.
Monday.
Whatever it says in the calendar.
Calendar.
I don't know. Whatever
we're
I
not,
said.
We're not learning Rambam again on Sunday.
I said we could. I don't. Whatever Rafal put down.
I didn't said Monday. So Monday to Wednesday.
I haven't seen the schedule. You talking about the
yeah whatever
the
it says
calendar or the schedule.
Whatever it comes out this week. So I don't know.
Okay, well, they'll send it.
I already told it to him, so we'll see. You let me know on Sunday.
I can send an email saying, shouldn't we have Rambam on Sunday? But I mean, that's...
I'm okay. I'm already prepared up through Yud Ches, Chav, through Chav. Okay, Shkoyach, guys.
One problem with the schedule is I missed the 10 minutes between me and Mark. Those were great little sort of forts. So Rabbi doesn't have to prepare, but I mean, those are...
I get a little break.